This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Condensed week for the Lions. It's a condensed week for us as well. It means today, the Power Surge gets bumped up a day.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear that at 8:35. John's best six teams in the NFL. What do you do with Baltimore?
A little bit of movement this week.
Yeah, what's going on? Mm-hmm. We'll get to that bottom of the hour. Greg Palm normally on Tuesdays. We've already done it. If you missed it, Odyssey app, rewind. It'll get podcasted later. The college football playoff rankings come out tonight, and I think people are very interested to see what happens to Indiana. Bad loss. What happens to Alabama, Ole Miss, these SEC teams that stumbled this last weekend. Colorado lost. BYU lost. How does Greg sort it out? Well, get the Odyssey app. Go back and hit the rewind. John, you asked the question, which quarterback you trust more? We can explore that more down the stretch here.
Yeah.
Lions got a short week. They got the Chicago Bears. It's Thanksgiving week, and we've got a chance to check in with Dan Campbell here shortly. So let's do it. It is Thanksgiving week. It's a quick week, a short turnaround. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
Let's talk about that last game and the idea of road warriors. I know TJ Lang was giving you a hard time, because can you be road warriors when the presence is so pronounced, all these Lions fans? As long as you've been in the league, just how special is it to see Lions fans on a weekly basis making these journeys?
Yeah, it's very special. And no, I've never been a part of this. Not quite like that. New Orleans, we had a lot of Saints fans that would travel 17, 18, 19, you know, we're having some pretty good years, but this is totally different. This is rare. So it's pretty good. And you could tell when we walked out for the game, pregame and then right before kickoff, it was just, you could tell our fans were there. And they were, you know, they were taking over that stadium, which was awesome. So it's a good thing, and it feels good, and it's still a road win, though.
I'm curious at the start of that game, let's even go back to the coin flip. The Colts win the coin flip. They decide that they want to take the ball first. How does that change the mentality at the beginning of the game? And when you guys win a toss, how do you decide whether you want the ball or not?
Yeah, it was awesome, because we wanted to play defense. I wanted to play defense first, so it was perfect. It depends. What is the look of that week, the opponent? Where do I think, the energy that we want to start with that week, where you think maybe you got an advantage, or where you think you can gain some early momentum or set the tone or and so I think you just kind of go throughout the week and get a feel of that, but definitely wanted to play defense first, and so it worked out great.
Yeah, we could see why. Defense played well again. Yeah. Defense improved so much last year to this year. What do you think the biggest reason is? Even with the injuries, all the improvement's been pretty clear.
So first of all, AG and his staff do a great job, we develop a damn good game plan. I think we're ready for our opponents. I think we understand how to play to our strengths and attack their weaknesses, And then our players, man, we've had a number of these guys that have been in this system for a while and have grown and are beginning to develop from, Max playing at a high level. Pascal has stepped up for us. Levi is the best he's been. You got Alex, you got Rodrigo, you got BB, you got Kirby. And then the addition of CD and those guys, it's just, so we're growing, we're getting better every week. And I think it's, there's a maturation process with all of this. So we're playing damn good. No 2 weeks are the same. Every opponent's different, and you got to find a way to stop the one in front of you.
we always see guys, especially in their second year, take a big step forward. Jack Campbell moving into the position of Alex Anzalone. I know you gave a game ball to Rodrigo, but what did you see from Jack specifically about being the green dot full-time and how he stepped into that role?
Well, and look, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, these days are running together right now. Jack got another game ball too. So, you know, just because he didn't get it in the big room where everybody sees doesn't mean that he played that well, you know, and which honestly we expected him to play well. He didn't bat an eye. He went in there. He was physical, got the calls in, was good in coverage. So he and Rodrigo, man, they played lights out.
Short week, the injuries. Everybody wants to know the status of some of these guys, but you know, and want to get that from you. But also, just the big picture, juggling these guys on a short week, knowing hey, you don't have a bye week the rest of the way in the regular season. How do you make these determinations?
Yeah, you do the best you can. If you think the guys can play and they can produce and it's not going to set them back for weeks or whatever, then you do that. But if not, and we don't feel like they can recover, then it makes no sense. And so goes life, man. I mean, this isn't going to be the last thing we get hit with now. I mean, we may have three or four players out for this game. And then, you know what, we may lose four more. So that's life. But we'll adjust. Next man up. We'll be ready. And we'll do whatever it takes to get a win.
Best you can. Updates on Decker, Montgomery, Carlton Davis, and Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, I would say they're all questionable.
The punt return. Obviously, Leaf went down, Riley Brown went in. How worried are you that he might pick up an injury in that situation, and do you expect him to be returning punts again this week?
Well, you know why Saint was in there? It was because Leaf got hurt. So, you know, now that we're in another week, you know, we're going to have probably a different returner. And if we need Saint in a critical, we'll use him. But, you know, that was really why he was in there, because he's sure-handed, and we know he'll get the job done, and he's just so damn reliable. If he wasn't that reliable, maybe we wouldn't put him back there.
Talking to Logan Campbell, Thanksgiving week, Bears on tap. Caleb Williams' rookie season, ups and downs, it's expected. But what have you seen from him when you prepare for this?
I've seen two huge ups in the last 2 weeks. This guy's trending to playing very, very good football the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's playing the quarterback position at a high level. You watch him progress. You watch him process, and it's happening fast. He's got mobility. He knows when to escape the pocket. He's dangerous when he gets out from it. He's one of those sneaky scramblers. And he's got big-time arm. He's pretty accurate. And I don't feel like it's been like I feel like the information that he's given to the offense and getting into the right play, all those things, he's been pretty damn good with, you know. So I see a developing player that's getting pretty damn good in a hurry.
You mentioned when I asked you about the coin flip, setting a tone at the beginning of the game. What type of tone on Thanksgiving Day? And I don't necessarily know that history plays a part of it. It's been seven in a row. But what type of tone do you want to come out and set against the Chicago Bears at 12:30?
Well, I think we'll choose, instead of offense or defense, we'll choose special teams this week.
Okay.
Fair enough. How big a deal is it playing on Thanksgiving? Like, you know, John mentioned the seven straight losses. Does that play a factor at all in the preparation of this game?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. I said seven straight losses on Thanksgiving. Does that at all play into the preparation, the messaging for your team for this game?
Look, not really. I mean, more. Believe me, we want to win Thanksgiving. You know, we do. But the messaging is let's win another divisional game. That's kind of the bigger focus of it. And then, you know, in turn, that'll get us our Thanksgiving win. But I think that's the big one, man. These division games almost count. You know, they count for 1.5 or almost 2. So that's the thing here. You know, you don't win this game, and it stings. It stings pretty good. All the wins up to this point, they don't mean as much. It's great, 9 in a row. You just lost to Chicago on Thanksgiving. That's division loss. That stings. So We got our work cut out for us. This is an excellent team. It really is. They're so close to finding a way to win. I mean, I'm telling you, they're one play, and it's been that way for 5 weeks now. So, but we're looking forward to the challenge. That's what we do, man. We love it.
If Decker's unable to go, do you plan, because it's a little bit further in advance than the last time Decker went down, do you plan on putting Penne over at left tackle?
A short week, it's we've thought about both. The walkthrough yesterday, we left Sewell at right. But since we're not getting full speed reps anyway, it's very easy for us to just go ahead and throw him over and let him roll. And so we're not 100% on that yet, but I can tell you we left him at right yesterday.
All right, Dan, biggest game is obviously you guys facing the Bears, but I got to ask you about Texas A&M renewing their rivalry with the Longhorns. Been a long time coming. What do you feel about that rivalry finally getting back on the schedule?
Man, it's about time. I mean, it's ridiculous. That is one of the longest rivalries in the history of this game, and it's a special one. It's one I got to play in. I was fortunate to for my time down there. And when you're from that state and you're from the Southwest, I mean, it means something. So it's bragging rights, and it's long overdue. And I'm glad that everybody, you know, we got everything put aside. I know it took everybody getting in the same conference, but it's about time. I'm looking forward to it.
You gonna watch it? You're gonna have some time.
Yeah, as long as I can keep my eyes open, I sure will.
One of those sleep deprived weeks, huh?
Little tryptophan.
All right, Dan, we appreciate your time, and happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you guys too. Have a good one.
It's 97.1.
Hey, this Thanksgiving, we're serving up epic football moments with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel app serves up all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and everything else that you want. Plus, when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/chance to join today and get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/chance. Make this Thanksgiving extra special with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You just missed it. Dan Campbell was on this morning. Odyssey Rewind. We got a lot to get to, but John, your takeaways from the coach.
I'm glad to hear Jack Campbell got a game ball as well. I know Rodrigo stepped in and played well. He got the one, as he called, in the big room, on the big stage. But when you go back and watch that game and you really analyze who was impactful in that game, I think Jack Campbell maybe had the game of his career to this point.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about a lot of games. There's going to be many more to come, and I expect him to continue to get better. But the pass defense, him dropping into coverage and deflecting balls, being in passing lanes, affecting all of those things for Anthony Richardson, plus what he did in the run game.
And to me, it's not even just the plays he makes. He's in control of the calls.
Right.
So, you know, when you're facing a mobile quarterback and there are rush lanes and run fits, and you have to make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be. You've got two active safeties. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, John, but I do feel like as the command center of the defense, there's almost an extra bonus point I want to give him for the overall collective defensive performance.
Yeah, it never looked like the defense was out of sync.
Right.
And, you know, Anzalone is such a veteran at the communication on the back end, the front end. I mean, they're that link in between. Plus, when you're playing that middle linebacker position and you do have the green dot, there's a lot of times where things are read at the snap of the ball. And as soon as, whether it's Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, what they do will dictate then what Jack Campbell does.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the ability to read those guys, play off of them, and make plays. The defense looked like it was 100% in sync the entire time, and you would never have known that the original play caller wasn't there.
That's what I was getting at. It just felt like they didn't miss a beat from a schematic standpoint, which is a huge credit to Jack Campbell. Dan said he wants to start the game with his special teams. So I'm missing the follow-up there. You're teeing him up. Do you want the ball? Do you want your defense? And he said special teams.
I know. I guess my follow-up would have been, I mean, technically that happens every game, kick return or kick off.
Yeah.
You can't announce an onside kick.
Tom, you said a few weeks back he floated out the idea of having his specialists maybe do a coin toss. Is that maybe what he was hinting at? Maybe this is the game?
Or even pregame introductions, that they would not introduce the defense or offense. They'd introduce special teams.
Give Jack Fox his love.
Jennifer Hammond asked him about that, and I heard her reference that on a postgame show a few weeks ago.
All right. And then I think the big takeaway that we talked about yesterday that Dan was able to illuminate, Amon-Ra St. Brown was used in a pinch, but John, doesn't sound like that will be the primary punt returner on Thanksgiving.
No, and I don't think any of us, I mean, even when we talked about it yesterday, didn't believe that.
Yeah.
They're going to test some guys out, see who can catch, who can run, who can make good decisions, who's going to be reliable back there. And in that situation, especially in a game like that where you're playing against a good team, that if you give them a moment, if there's a dropped punt or somebody makes the wrong decision back there, all of a sudden you allow a team that can be explosive right back in the game.
So what about this? You know you can get the ball no matter what. You know that you can put your return team out there. What if it's J-Mo?
I'd be excited about it. And they're
telling them you're taking it out no matter what.
What do you mean, no matter what? If the coverage is good.
Kick return.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the opening, you can get the opening kick no matter what if you want. Because the odds are the Bears will defer. I mean, they're going to put Caleb Williams on the field to start the game on the road like that in that environment.
In that environment? Yeah.
Pretty, probably pretty highly doubt so. And if you win the toss, you automatically can just take the ball. So maybe he's already foreshadowing what's going to happen. I don't know. He let us speculate, so I guess we can speculate.
Yeah, we can connect the dots. We can connect them however we want.
Maybe it's not a surprise. Maybe it's an announced onside kick to start the game. No, you can't do that anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
No, you have to be trailing in the fourth quarter. This stupid rule.
I hate that. How many times do you hear people say, I hate the new kickoff rule? I mean, I hear it almost on a daily basis.
There's been a few more, though, this year, hasn't there? Kick returns?
Yeah.
So it needs to be tweaked because we've allowed for some more fun long kick returns, but we've also just completely, like, teams most of the time kick it out of the end zone.
Right, yeah.
It's just eliminated the play completely.
Here's the ball at the 30.
Yeah, might as well just do that.
If I tweaked anything, I'd actually go back to kick it off at the 25 because kickers' legs are so much better than they used to be, and I would completely put it back to the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Kick off at the 25 and let's go.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous game. I really don't think there was any increased injuries on kick returns. I think it was a making the game safer agenda.
Sure. Yes. A talking point.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We have the power surge at 8:35. At 8:50, the word out of Columbus. Can you get revenge on a ghost? What they're talking about down in Columbus. We'll get to that at 8:50. And in the 9 o'clock hour. Oh, conspiracy seeds. Lions fans aren't going to want to hear this. It's Heather's news first.
Well, the Oakland County Prosecutor's Office has said that it will work with the Michigan Attorney General's Office to start this investigation into the Oxford High School shooting. And now, days after families of the victims demanded the state-led investigation, Oakland County Prosecutor Kim McDonald has formally referred the case to Dana Nessel. So in this referral letter, McDonald vowed to cooperate with any investigation Nessel's office conducts, as well as provide access to all the files and any personnel with relevant information available to state investigators. So we'll see if this gets any traction.
And
it gets off the ground for sure. The UFL is ready to expand. On Monday, the league announced that it has officially launched its first expansion process.
Okay.
And they're accepting proposals from prospective markets looking to bring spring football to their communities. And they do have some criteria that they're looking for. Obviously, you need some fan interest. So they want to find somewhere that people are interested. Existing sports culture, geography and population, venue and infrastructure availability.
So right now the league has 8 teams.
It does. Yeah.
And the only one in the Midwest is the Michigan Panthers, right? I guess St. Louis is Midwest if you really want to play that game. Do we see another Midwest partner? Does Chicago get a team? Does Indianapolis get a team? Cleveland, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Indy would be a great one.
Yeah, because indoors.
Yeah.
It'd make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Hey, if you heard a loud boom in Milford, it might have been coming from the GM Proving Grounds. So fire crews have been there battling some sort of explosion that took place. This is obviously where the automaker tests its cars, its trucks. You can see there's footage that has been shared of just these not now. The footage is gone. John leaned over to look.
I was trying to peek at her screen. Yeah.
My video has already moved on to other news, but you can. There is video. You can see the fire crews spraying foam onto these metal tanks. So far, it's unclear what happened, but there was a report of a loud boom. And
that
obviously
was early this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so it might have been that. Obviously, I don't have much info still. Everything's under investigation. Hey, if you've got a big turkey in your freezer, you might have run out of time to thaw it.
Uh-oh.
You're definitely
up against it.
Up against it now. So there are three ways that are deemed safe to thaw a turkey. And one is in the refrigerator, which I think is probably the most common way.
Yes. Yeah, but it takes the longest.
It does, but it's the easiest.
Right, yes. As long as you have enough foresight.
Right.
And space in the refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah, you can
a lot of variables here.
There are. But okay, so you should plan for roughly one whole day for every 4 to 5 pounds your bird weighs to thaw it in the refrigerator. So if your turkey's over 10 pounds, that
it's
option's out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're too late for that. So another option is to thaw your turkey
in the microwave.
Well, don't thaw it in the microwave. I mean, can you thaw turkey in the microwave? Yes.
If it'll fit.
Don't do that. So you can thaw it in cold water.
Okay, yes.
Right? Okay, which is much faster than thawing in the refrigerator, but you do have to kind of be present for that because you got to swap out the water like every half hour. So it's like
kind of a pain.
Yeah, so you should plan for about 30 minutes in the water for every pound your turkey weighs. So let's say 16 to 20 pound turkey, you need 8 to 10 hours to thaw that in the water. And like I said, you got to make sure you're swapping the water out every about half hour. You can't thaw it in the microwave, but you probably really shouldn't. At least
people actually do that.
Not a whole bird. I mean, parts of a turkey.
Parts of a turkey,
parts of it.
Yeah, maybe if you've run into a disaster and it's the only solution.
Yeah.
And then they say finally, you know, let's say you've just totally forgot to cook your turkey. It's still in the freezer and your guests are coming over. You can cook
a frozen turkey,
but it's going to take at least 50% longer than a thawed bird. So
okay, so there's still hope.
So there is, but your guests will be starving as they're sitting there waiting for this.
Yeah, but so if it takes 50% longer, you just the morning of, you just have to make sure that you account for that time so you can still eat at the same time.
It's all pre-planning.
Yeah,
just take everything into account. Yes. You got that. Yeah, there.
Picking up our birds today.
Are you?
Yes, can't wait. Mm-hmm. Very excited.
How big's the bird?
I'll know when I pick it up. Elisa ordered them.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a manual labor.
Hope it's thawed.
Yeah. No, it'll be thawed. Yeah.
So if you need a little break from the stress and all the prep of Thanksgiving and you're getting a little hungry, head over to Big Boy. They're celebrating their iconic Big Boy burger with a really good deal. Today, the burger is only 99 cents when you buy a Pepsi product, and you're going to need a drink to go with that.
Can you buy multiple ones?
I think so, because it says there's no limit and the offer is available for dine-in or carry-out options. So at 99 cents, it's 90% off the regular price, normally $10.49. So huge deal. And on top of that, which is already a great deal, Big Boy will also award one customer 4 tickets to the December 15th Lions game against the Bills.
Ooh.
I don't know how they're picking, but one lucky person will also get those tickets. So,
Big boys might be on the menu later today.
Sounds good. Heather with the news. Speaking of Lions tickets, we'll have tickets tomorrow for the Thanksgiving Day game. Be listening for your chance to win. Coming up next, it's the Power Surge. It's 97.1.
All right, guys. Want to be a hero this holiday season? You got to go and get your girl what she really wants. Get her a beauty package from Beauty Bird Med Spa. You can choose from any number of their premium offerings. You know, maybe you've heard her talk about Botox or laser hair removal. Whatever it is, Amy Wise and her team have you covered. They can walk you through everything and they can help create a personalized package that your ladies will love. Plus, they're going to be in great hands. I was recently there. I saw Amy, and I'm telling you, I couldn't be happier with the treatment I received. So don't struggle with the holidays again this year. Go visit them in Commerce or head to mybeautybird.com today. That's mybeautybird.com.
Hanging out on a Tuesday, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Pistons win with a buzzer beater from Jaden Ivey. Red Wings sweep the season series with the Islanders. Unfortunately, that means no more games against the Islanders.
It's too bad. Those are wins.
I know. Wolverines and Spartans both won on the hardwood, but John and I are not mentally ready for college hoops. We are still not yet done with college football season. And John, this week, I don't have to remind you, is Michigan-Ohio State week. Talk to Sharon Moore tomorrow, but I want to read you a snippet from Cleveland.com. That's right. I was looking up what they're talking about down in Ohio because for them, it's on a tee, right? Michigan's a big old pinata. You get a bunch of swings and there's your candy. You're winners.
Was it easy to follow? Because there's probably a lot of spell check in there.
I actually thought this was an interesting article. Jimmy Watkins is the writer and he asks the question, can you get revenge on a ghost? And this is what he writes. I'd like to know where Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh is. Seriously, has anybody seen the former Michigan coach? Because Ohio State football wants to teach him a lesson, but Harbaugh has already graduated to the NFL along with former Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, and other recent Michigan faces. So as OSU plots a three-year lecture concerning who owns this rivalry, I'm wondering, can you exact revenge on a ghost? Sharon Moore is not the coach who rubbed so many Buckeyes wrong over the last decade, and I don't think winning this game will feel as good as Buckeye fans think or want, no matter how wide the margin.
Well, that's a cute premise. In a lot of other levels of sport, I get it. But in college football, it doesn't matter who the coach is. It didn't matter that Urban Meyer wasn't there anymore in 21 when Michigan finally got over the hump and beat Ohio State. Now, there was a little bit more of a buildup because it had been 17 years.
But it's also satisfying to beat a good Ohio State team to do
sure.
it, right?
Yeah, and you know, if they beat Michigan this year and Michigan falls to 6-6, what does that really mean for Ohio State? They're not going to care about Michigan's record. It's just simply a win over Michigan, as it would be for Michigan as a win over Ohio State. And so it's every year in college football, it's a little bit less likely in blue blood programs where you have, you know, year to year coaching changes. It does happen, but you're still playing against that fan base. And, you know, the Ohio State fans aren't going to care if Jim Harbaugh is there or not. They're not going to care if it's, Davis Warren versus J.J. McCarthy, or if it's Kalel Mullins and Donovan Edwards versus, Blake Corum. It's not going to matter to them. What matters is the win.
It's going to matter to them. His point is they won't get the revenge that they so desperately seek. They're not beating championship caliber Michigan to swing the balance of the Big Ten because Michigan isn't that team anymore. And it's kind of this hollow, this ghost of Michigan football that they're facing on Saturday, where the real opponent for them was Indiana last week, or Oregon. Those are the heavy hitter games that are going to decide Ohio State's place in the playoff, a national title picture.
Right, but there's not a more maniacal fan base than Buckeye fans.
You don't say.
I've talked about this for years. We've done polls on Twitter, and I know that's not necessarily official.
Oh, it's scientific. It is, trust me.
But they would lose every game and beat Michigan than they would lose to Michigan and win a national championship. Like, they're lunatics.
They are, but the article continues, and I think these are funny little quips. It says, let's try talking trash. Hold this L, Davis Warren. You're going to rue the day you never took a snap against Ohio State the last owned. Get embarrassed, Kalel Mullins. We didn't forget the 15-yard pass to go with one carry you completed 2 years ago. I hope you'll remember this loss just as long as last year's national title run. Unlikely. And the last one, he says, I don't think you've escaped this verbal wood chipper, Will Johnson. After the angst you've caused Buckeye fans, I hope this loss makes you feel Oh, right. Johnson was ruled out for Saturday's game a week early. Assuming he enters the NFL draft next spring, he will have never lost to Ohio State. His point is you're not getting the satisfaction. You're not beating this Michigan team and getting all of the joy you think you're going to get.
They're going to get all the joy they think.
Because they're wired in such a way where this win is everything no matter what.
It's in this game, it doesn't matter if it's the number one team, if it's team 124. It's all about the win. And you can't tell me the cameras won't be on Ryan Day if, I emphasize the if they win, Ryan Day may be brought to tears.
Oh, man.
In joy and relief.
Well, that's the key, relief. Because him losing this game.
Right. And so, okay, the entire joy may not be there for Ryan Day because he's not beating Jim Harbaugh. But Jim Harbaugh, you can't tell me it meant any less in 21 just because Urban Meyer wasn't there. He'll never beat Urban Meyer.
No, it wasn't Urban Meyer, but at least it was like a 10-11 win.
Sure,
Michigan
was not
title.
Favored to win in that game. They were not favored to win in 22. The only time they were favored to win was last year in 23.
My point, and I think the point this guy's making, they were titans of the Big Ten. Seismic showdown, mano a mano, best on best. And maybe not their very best because Urban had left, but close enough. This isn't close enough, and it's because Michigan's a 6-win team.
Yeah, but you haven't been a part of this rivalry. I don't think you really understand what, because you're trying to build up this like it's not going to be a big deal to Ohio State. It's going to be a big deal to Ohio State. Should it be? No.
I'm just giving you the perspective of Cleveland.com and the writers down in Columbus,
I know,
Ohio.
But you keep trying to sell it. And
I think it's creatively written. I think it's interesting.
That's why I said it was a cute article.
If they somehow lose Ohio State and Ryan Day is brought to tears, I hope he has tissues, because if that tears get down to his beard, then it will
start
running down his neck and could get really ugly.
Let's get to Scott and Troy. Scott, good morning. What's up, buddy?
I'm a diehard Golden Domer, and there was all those years with Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. Right. And Notre Dame could not get over the hump. And they're obviously, USC is a huge rival of Notre Dame's. And it was like every year, those were huge games. And then you had the push and stuff like that. So there was all this behind it. Then when Pete Carroll left and went to the Seahawks and Leinart's gone and Bush is gone and everything's changed, then Notre Dame finally won. And it was great to beat USC, but it did not feel the same.
Right,
the team that you wanted to beat was that team that was kicking your ass, And then now they were all gone. Everything was changed. It was a different team, and that's the makeup of college football. So it still felt great to beat USC, but I understand what they're saying. It's not the same.
Right, but you're looking as a logical fan, as I do believe a lot of Golden Domers are. I don't think that there's a lot of logical Buckeye fans. Just don't. They're not.
That's there for us. We still got another day. Still got a couple more days this week of shows.
Sure.
Little Lions football in the 9 o'clock hour. This is for, and I hate doing this, this is for the conspiracy theorists out there. You're going to want to listen a little closer to the radio.
Make sure you have the right tinfoil on your head so that it doesn't disrupt the broadcast.
Ever so slightly. We'll get to that next, 97.1.
Here we go.